We're halfway through on this Monday. Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If you're just joining us, had a good weekend. Doug texted me on Friday night, and then I didn't hear from him the rest of the weekend.
Come on, man.
I just don't get you. I mean, if you're going to, like, you know, start a conversation, let's go, you know? And I got back to you a couple times, nothing. Nothing. Like, you know, I'm like, come on, really? Hey, there's nothing.
Hey, what did you say when you got back to me?
I said that Yankees are on pace to score 54 runs today.
I looked at
you that. Know that the Seattle Mariners, I said, Doug, I go, I don't know how to explain this to you, but the Mariners right now are on pace to make 40 errors in this game.
Yeah, man, they're throwing the ball all over the place, man.
Dude, they had 5 errors in the first inning. I mean, that's obviously a franchise record. I mean, listen, I got to tell you, I've played Little League Baseball, and I've coached Little League Baseball.
Don't do that.
I've never had a Little League team make 5 errors in it. I have never had my Little League team make 5 errors in one inning. What? I haven't. All right, listen, if you're listening right now, have you ever seen a Little League team make 5 errors in one inning? 5.
Do not call in here
5.
With that.
Well, I'm just asking a question. I could be wrong. Somebody could call up and go, yeah, mine did. Right. But the phones aren't ringing off the hook because you know what? I don't think anybody's Little League team's ever made 5 errors in one inning.
Life happens, Grant. Life happens.
We're talking about Major League Baseball. 5 errors in one inning.
You know what? You guys needed some confidence after that.
Confidence.
Off. Crack!
Let me read you the standings in the American League, all right? The Seattle Mariners are 66 and 65.
There you go.
The Yankees are 70 and 59.
Ooh.
Oh, and by the way, if you're keeping score at home and you're looking at the wild card standings,
yeah,
the Mariners are still in the thick of things.
That's
because
right.
they the rest of those teams stink.
Oh, that's how we're going. They stink.
5
huh?
errors in one inning.
Come on, Grant. You guys are 11,
the first inning.
You guys are 11 games over 500.
5 errors.
It happens, man.
It's never happened before. What do you mean it happens? It doesn't happen.
Maybe not 5, maybe 3.
Thank you. It doesn't happen.
You know,
I don't want to hear that it happens. It doesn't happen.
You guys need
That's
some
the
confidence.
Point I'm trying to make. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. Didn't happen to the Little League World Series champions.
Did you watch the World Series Little League?
Yeah, I watched a bunch of games.
Who won?
Japan did. Yeah, they are.
They're great.
Woo. Goodness gracious.
Machine.
But between
They're a machine.
Between games, between innings, they're working.
No wonder I couldn't get a hold of Taro today. He was celebrating.
So
Japan, they're great. They win. They're so good.
Look, man, they show kid between innings. He's a pitcher. He's still working on pitching. They're hitting ground balls to each other. I mean, they are on top of it. Congratulations to them.
That's good stuff watching those kids play.
Oh, no doubt. And the joy at which is, you know what, Grant? I'm happy for Major League Baseball to allow guys to put the names on the back of the jerseys and different stuff. Just a little – baseball is about having fun. And part of it, you can see it in these guys' faces. They are having fun again. You know, when I sent you that that clip, it said Mr. 305 on the back when he cracked that out.
I did see that.
Yeah, you saw that? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. But I didn't hear from you the rest of the weekend, and I was kind of bothered by that. I thought you were my buddy. I thought, you know.
I figured you were out of reach. You were in Texas.
No, I wasn't out of reach. My phone was working just fine. Very disappointing, I just want to tell you.
That's okay. Hey, we make these playoffs. You watch out. You know what's up. We owe you guys from 2001. Oh, yeah.
2001?
Yeah, you remember.
We got a good percentage of our audience. They weren't even born then. What's wrong with you?
Hey, just because they weren't born doesn't mean that you and I can't reminisce.
That's true.
About 116 wins and getting put out in the ALDS.
Right,
not happy.
We're going to continue our previews of the AFC West with the L.A. Chargers a little bit later this hour at 5:30. And then we talk about the Raiders, and you look at their defense or lack thereof. And I know it's preseason, but based on what we saw yesterday, on Saturday, and based on what we saw last year and our conversation with Lincoln Kennedy that we had on this show Thursday, when I asked him about that concern and if it's any different, he said, no, it's not any different, mm-hmm. that the defense is as bad as it is last year. I don't know how you win the close games when you have to continually put that type of pressure on your offense.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And to hear that coming from Link, because, you know, he knows, he sees them all the time, so he is up on it. And I was anticipating a little improvement, hearing a little improvement from him, but he said spot on, no improvement. So, boy, oh boy, that just put so much pressure on Derek Carr and the offense to be absolutely prolific. And all signs point to the fact that they can be, Grant, but winning that way, you're going to have to help on the other side of the football.
All right, let's get to Mike. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hi, gentlemen. Doug, this comment is for you because I was listening to, and thank you for taking my call. I grew up as a kid in Seattle, and I was about 8 years old when both the Mariners and the Seahawks became franchises.
Mm.
And so I remember the days of Efren Herrera,
yes,
Jim Thorne, and you know, the early
Steve
days
Largent.
Of the Mariners.
Hey, just so you know, Mike Grant's over here shaking his head because we're not New York sports.
I like Steve Largent. He was great.
But see, that's the point, because Grant, and I love you, brother. I've listened to this show forever, and I love you, brother. But you get to talk about the Giants, so, you know, I can talk to a fellow brother about...
There you go, Mike.
Hey, I talk about all the teams in the NFL.
I know you do, and I respect that. The one other comment I would make, and then it... in 1978 and 79, when the Sonics were making their run and finally won the championship in 79, the town went crazy. And Doug, I don't know how old you were at that point, but maybe you weren't even born yet.
Oh no, I was born. Pitcher in the paper with Gus Williams because they didn't sign him. They let him go out of town. That would be Washington Bullets, bite the bullets, Grant. You remember
that's
that?
Right.
Yes,
that's
sir,
right.
Mike.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Oh, we needed a little Seattle reminiscing right there.
You got any stuff that we can talk about that's, you know,
like
during the era of cell phones or computers or anything like that?
Yeah, the Seahawks. Let's talk about it. Are you, Grant? You or something else? Well, look, you count all the Yankees championships from like 1840.
No, they didn't play in 1840.
Well, you know what I mean. Way back when. Yeah. Oh, what do you got? 17 of them? Is that what you say? How many you guys got?
27. How many you have?
I almost cussed.
How many do you have? Zero.
Look, man.
How many? How many? Zero?
What the? Something wrong with my mic. I was trying to say something.
Zero.
Yeah. You remember the Seattle Pilots?
Zero.
Yeah. We're coming, Napes.
Hey, do you think, you know, when we do talk about the NFL and the Raiders?
Yeah.
What would happen? I mean, do the Raiders, and the fact they lost to the Chiefs twice last year, but, you know, again, I still think they would have been fine had Derek Carr not been hurt. But if their defense is not able to get off the field,
mm-hmm,
and their defense is not able to get off the field on third down, do the Raiders have to be like one of the top two or three best offenses in football in order to win? And if they do, are they good enough to do that? Are they good enough to be that good offensively?
I think they are, but now you got a Marshawn Lynch that you don't exactly know what you're going to get during the regular season, only because he was injured and he hadn't been in football. If he is the Lynch that we know, okay, great. I mean, you are absolutely solid right there. Derek Carr coming back from a leg injury, the whole season, is he going to last? Can he take a hit? All those different things. And then the ability for them to be prolific, Grant, I think is something that they can absolutely do because they did it last year. Now, you got a year full of tape on them, so it's going to be a little bit tougher. But if you think about the teams that they are going to be trying to compete against, you got the Patriots, the Dolphins, you throw them in there. Who else? You mentioned Tennessee. I think that they well improved. But then if you just stay in the AFC West, Grant, it's not going to be – because you mentioned defense. I talk about the Chargers because I said I was a little bullish on the Chargers. You put Phillip Rivers out there and you allow him to make passes and get a rhythm and get going. Do you think he's going to be able to put up points against the Raiders? I think it turns into a shootout, which then goes to your point. Who stops who?
All right. What do you think at 339-1140? That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Do you think after watching the Raiders in preseason, and again, I don't want to get carried away, but do you feel that they're going to be good enough? You got Khalil Mack, who's great, but teams are going to try to neutralize him. And again, they're going to try. Do you think that the Raiders can be good enough defensively where they're going to be able to win 11 games?
You mentioned Khalil Mack, Grant, and you are spot on. You got to know that they're going to cut him. They're going to double him. There's so many things that they're going to throw at him, which means that, you know, Mario Edwards, Irvin, other guys are going to have to step up and make plays. And that is what is going to have to be shown. If they can make it happen, if they can, you know, stop the pass, don't let the ball go over the top, because that was something that they had a problem with last year. And then we talk about the defensive coordinator situation and all the little things that happened last year going into this year. Will Jack Del Rio, if it's not going good, take over again? A lot of questions, I would say, on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah. What about the 49ers? Defensively good, cornerbacks really weak, very good front seven. Offensively, I still think they're going to have trouble to score.
You know, I actually might disagree with you a little bit. Offensively, I think that the system is going to help them out as opposed to just being out there running plays. Looking at Hoyer, looking at the way that they distribute. Now, it is preseason, and you might be right. But I think that that system brings out the best in players who might not, I don't want to say marginal, but systematic approach helps them to be in the right positions, go through your progressions. Brian Hoyer has ran Shanahan's offense before. So I think that they'll be a little bit better than we might think on the offensive side of the football.
All right, let's get to Johnny around with Grant and Doug. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening?
Oh, not much. Just want to say, hey, you know, I like you guys' show. Christy, you're the mom.
Thank you, sir.
I'm glad you're on this show as well.
I'm glad Grant let me out the box.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, so, you know, I'm a big Raider fan. You know, I used to go to all the games, and, you know, me and my family were really tight with the Raiders. But defensively, I don't know, man. You know, I think what we have to do to make games happen is Carr's going to have to manage the clock on his end. You know, he's going to have to drive that ball down, but he's going to have to eat up as much clock as he can every time he gets the ball so the other guys don't get the ball.
You know, Johnny, you make a great point. And the one thing that does bode well for them is an incredible offensive line. If Marshawn Lynch can stay healthy, now all of a sudden that you can run the football, you can take time off the clock, and you do have a smart quarterback in Derek Carr that can do these things. But I don't think, Johnny, that you want to rely on that all year, just taking these possessions that take, you know, 9 minutes. And it's going to be tough on that offense. Can they do it? Yeah, we saw them do it last year. But can you do it back-to-back is going to be the question.
Exactly. And who do we have coming up to take, you know, to help out the safeties in the corners? Who do we have? And who's out there to grab? It's bad. It's bad. It's scary. I love my Raiders. But defensively, bam.
Hey, you know, Johnny, a question. Me and Grant went over this many, many times this year. So you say you love the Raiders. You're a Raider fan. So you're sticking with them even when they moved to Vegas, huh?
Yes, sir. You know, it's tough. But you know what? I mean, if you're going to build a palace, you can't build a palace in Oakland. They're not going to get the support. And honestly, NFL's money. So mm-hmm. Why not put money where the money's at?
Right.
And you're gonna bring the fans. The fans, they'll show up. But you know what? It's going to be about half fans. The rest of the half is going to be, hey, we're going to Vegas to watch a game. We're going to party in Vegas, and we're going to go watch a game.
Yeah. Any of your friends give up on them?
No.
No. Everybody's riding, huh?
Everybody's riding. And you know what? I was, you know, like I said, I go to the games, and I party in the parking lot. I'm there from 8 o'clock in the morning till game time, and I'm partying after the game. I want to see that happen in Vegas when it's 120.
That's not happening.
That ain't gonna happen
unless they build a roof over the parking lot, buddy.
It ain't gonna happen. But yeah, all that's gonna be taken away. It's not gonna be the same. I love my Raiders. It's not gonna be the same. But I still ride.
No doubt.
All right. Appreciate so give me a record. What do you think this year?
This year's record, I say we get about 10 wins.
So 10-6, and then that's good enough to make the playoffs, right?
Oh my God, I hope so.
I'm thinking it is. I was one game more bullish than you, Johnny. I thought that they came back as well. I said 11-5. I can't remember what Grant said. I think we were both 11-5. Right in there. But right. I would say double digits should make the playoffs.
Yeah, and you guys talking about Rivers, that's the dude.
Yeah,
you know, we don't really have to worry about Casey with the running back, but you know what? They have a stud rookie coming up, so you still got to worry about that. But their defense is hot.
See,
so,
great.
Yeah,
dude, it's tough. It's
all right.
Gonna be fun, and you know, I'll talk to you guys again. I know
Thank you,
guys
you.
Appreciate you, Johnny.
Appreciate it, Brad. You're next. Hello, Brad. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Grant? Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on you know, we all know what Khalil Mack can do, but is it the defensive players surrounding him, or is it defensive coordinator when it comes to our defense?
I don't think it's defensive coordinator. I got into this conversation with the caller last week, and he disagrees with me. But I think it's a personnel issue. I really do.
Especially with our defensive backs. It's just the same story. You know what I mean?
It's awful. I mean, the cornerbacks are terrible.
Yeah, they didn't touch one of those Dallas receivers, it seems like. Nope. And off the line, it's like, man, you got to do something. You got to jam him up or something.
Now, the good news is Conley is going to be good to go in week one, but the bad news is he doesn't have any experience.
Now, Brad, I will say this. When you're talking about jamming guys up at the line of scrimmage, and Grant is educating me as I get the nuances of just, you know, I love football, but getting into that part, that could be schematic, meaning if they're not jamming at the line of scrimmage, that could be defensive coordinator says this is the way that we want to play.
Well, it also could be personnel. Not everybody's good at jamming at the line of scrimmage.
Right. Doesn't have the strength and the quickness, and that's a good point, Grant.
It just looked too damn easy sometimes. A touchdown with Witten had it. It seemed like he just sailed right.
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the call.
You guys have a great day.
Appreciate you, Brad.
Lonnie is next. Hello, Lonnie.
Hey, how you doing, Grant?
What's happening?
Oh, just making it, man. Long-time listener. Love both you guys.
Thank you.
I haven't talked to you in years, Grant, but I still listen.
Thank you.
The hell's wrong with you, Lonnie? Call in, buddy.
I think our last one was a rant about gun control or something. It's been a few years. But our Raiders, I believe our offense will get us to or very close to the Super Bowl. But our defense will be the reason that we lose because we, like the last caller was talking about getting up and jamming somebody, we don't have anybody that can do that. No one.
I think, Lonnie, that is the big problem. Offensively, yes. So take this for me, Lonnie. Digest this. You get to the playoffs. You meet the Patriots. You're going to meet them in Foxborough. Who scores? Who stops? And that's how I've been trying to process it. They meet up against the Raiders. Will they score some points? Yeah, but I think the Patriots will stop the Raiders more than vice versa.
I agree wholeheartedly. We don't have a defense. We've got a couple of guys on the line. Mac, the other guy's name doesn't come to mind.
No, they're great
help. But you know, anybody goes downfield, it's open.
If they don't get to the quarter, and thanks for the call. If they don't get pressure on the quarterback, they're in a lot of trouble.
So Grant, don't you? As I always say, the education. So if you got a guy like Khalil Mack and you know he's going to be coming off the edge, what's that going to make the quarterback do? He's going to step up in the pocket. So if he's going to step up in the pocket, wouldn't that tell you that you need a linebacker that's going to be able to get in there and make something happen to help the guys down the field, right?
Yeah, but I also think their biggest issue is their cornerbacks. They just are not very good in coverage, and I don't know how that's going to get better with the personnel. I mean, are we expecting too much out of a rookie that's never played before? I think the answer to that question is yes. All right, let's get to Craig. What's up, Craig?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Craig. What's up?
Earlier, someone called in and was talking about Roger Staubach. Your story was fantastic. Everything I've ever heard about him and seen on, you know, documentaries or whatever, he's the nicest, best guy there ever was. And he got his money from real estate.
Mm.
He started investing while he was still playing in residential and then apartments and then moved up to commercial. And as of January of this year, his net worth is about $600 million.
Yeah, I could live on that.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, good for him. You know what? And you would never know it. If you talk to him, you wouldn't know that he's a Hall of Famer. You wouldn't know that he had $100 in his pocket. He's just not that type of guy.
He ever wanted to meet.
He really is. What a class act.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's do anything you want to, money.
Yeah, no question. Thank you very much for the call. We greatly appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the AFC West. The next segment will concentrate on the Chargers, all right? So that's going to be coming up next with Ricky Henney from Chargers.com right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we previewed the Kansas City Chiefs, and again, the last thing they wanted was to see that there would be no Spencer Ware, but that's the way it is. And, you know, again, every team's going to have injuries, but boy, oh boy, when you lose a guy like that in the preseason. I'll tell you, another team that has already had a lot of injuries are the Chargers. And, you know, it's like you just got to go out and play. But when you look at the Chargers and you look at the injuries, I mean, it's just scary. I mean, they have various injuries. And so you just got to go out and next man up in the NFL, Doug, next man up.
That is a tough thing about the NFL, Grant, because one play, that's all it takes. Is one. I mean, it's in any sport, but this one in and of itself, the physical violent nature is, you know, last year it was Keenan Allen, boom, right away, gone. And you're thinking, okay, this might be the year where he really jumps out because they have an absolutely stud at quarterback. But this is a team that continues to be ravaged by injuries, but has some talent. And when you have a quarterback like Phillip Rivers, you obviously have a chance.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. But again, we talk about injuries in the National Football League. We'll be talking with Ricky Henney, reporter for Chargers.com in just a couple of minutes. Now you think they're better than I do, right?
Yes, I don't think that they're the last place team in the division. I think they can do a few things.
Who do you think they're better than?
I think they can be better than the Broncos. I think the Broncos defense obviously is superior, but the Chargers have a decent defense. And when you, like I said, you got Phillip Rivers, the problem is they have to stay healthy. They got to get out on the field and they have to put it together. Last year, shooting themselves in the foot, losing so many close games, I thought that they were a better team. And I thought that they showed that the wins weren't there. This year, can they, you know, get above 500, maybe 9-7, somewhere like that? I think it's possible.
I'll tell you one guy that they have who's just a stud, and that's Joey Bosa.
Oh boy, pass rushing. He's going to get there, Grant. He's gonna take some guys down, and they're going to have to start double teaming. The kid has a motor on him.
You have to double team.
Oh boy, yeah.
You absolutely have to double team him.
High and low, and if you want to get him on the backside too, you can do that, because when you got a motor like that, he is a special talent.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140, AFC West. I mean, I think the one thing, you know, when we talked about this with Kansas City, this is a very balanced division. Yes, it goes without saying that the Raiders and the Chiefs are the two teams that you would put near the top or at the top. Mm-hmm. I don't know about where we put the L.A. Chargers. Ricky Henney is a reporter for Chargers.com. Ricky, well, we lost him. All right, we'll get him back in a minute.
Yeah, but when you talk about the AFC West, Grant, you know, obviously the Broncos with the lack of a dominant quarterback, that kind of puts you down. The team, the Raiders, then you look at Kansas City, who we talked about earlier. Alex Smith isn't an elite quarterback, but he's going to manage the game. He's going to do what he needs to do to keep them winning, and they've done it with him before. So that helps them. But Phillip Rivers gives you a chance every single time.
Yeah, he's good. There's no doubt about it. He does give you a chance. So we'll try to get Ricky back, and we'll also take your phone calls at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And then coming up in the fourth hour of the show, we'll talk about the Denver Broncos as we continue with our look around the AFC West. While we wait for Ricky, let's get to Jim. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Graham, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, I can't for the life of me figure out why the Raiders haven't addressed the middle linebacker in the draft. It just, every year, it seems like they're taking defensive linemen, and maybe a cornerback here or there, but never never looking at the linebacker position, it seems like, and or addressing it early in the draft. Is that your sense? Am I off here? What do you think?
Well, they spent you know, a high draft pick a couple of years ago on Khalil Mack, and then they went offense to help Derek Carr, and they, you know, you can't build everything all at once. Yeah, the linebackers are an issue. I think their bigger issue are cornerbacks. But, again, they did take a cornerback with Jerrion Conley, but unfortunately hasn't been on the field yet. They do think he's going to be ready for week one, but, you know, doesn't have the experience. So, yeah, you could definitely look at that. You know, I mean, I don't think Bruce Irvin, who they picked up last year, played the way they thought he was going to play on defense, which, again, I was surprised by that. They do have a super stud in Khalil Mack, but they need more than that.
Well, they put Khalil on the line, though.
So yes, they did. Yes, they did. No, I know you're talking about linebackers. I'm just going over, you know, a lot of their defense.
Keekly run the field, you know, general kind of thing. That player that's going to really show. I mean, the tight ends. You know, I don't know who wrote about it a couple days ago. But said basically, whenever the Raiders play somebody, they must give the opposing team tight end an invisibility cloak.
Right. No kidding.
It's not even 5 yards. 10, 15 yards, like nobody's picking them up. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, Grant, Jim makes a point when he talks about leader on the defensive side of the football, whether that's, you know, your strong safety, your middle linebacker. These are guys that are going to lead the defense, give the defense confidence, run everything. And if you don't have that guy, and that guy needs to be dynamic as well. You mentioned Keekly, meaning that he's going to go from sideline to sideline. He's going to call the plays. He's the coach on the field. The Raiders, I think, that's kind of what he's speaking to, is they're missing someone like that.
And we will have Ricky in the next segment, so he will be coming on with us in about 6 or 7 minutes. Again,
right.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Maybe they surprise people. Maybe they are a little bit better than last year, but they are going to have to be better than last year. There is no doubt about it. And if they're not, I think it's going to be very disappointing.
Yeah, I do too, because the window of opportunity in the NFL closes extremely fast. When I want to say lifespan in the NFL is like 3.5-4 years, something like that. So when you get that opportunity, you got to take full advantage of it. And you would think that, similar to what you've seen the Patriots do, the Patriots don't make a lot of moves usually. I mean, they make moves, but this offseason, they seem like they were very active to try to make sure that they solidified an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl again and win the Super Bowl. When you got an offense that's as prolific as the Raiders are, you would think that automatically, let's make some move on the defensive side of the ball to really shore this thing up. Maybe they have something that we're not seeing, Grant, and this is preseason as you speak. Regular season will be different.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we will talk about the L.A. Chargers in the next segment, as Ricky Handy was having a few issues with a connection. So we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We get to Mark. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the program. You're on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I know we're talking about preseason football, and obviously there's been all these injuries going on. I still think the Patriots are probably still the favorites, even without Julian Edelman. They have all those offensive weapons. But it's crazy how many injuries there have been besides Edelman and all the other ones. But, what is the benefit of having a four-game preseason? Is it just money? And if they change the preseason, let's say they change the preseason from being 4 games to 2, and they add those 2 games onto the regular season. I'm not saying that they should do that or that they would, but would it feel the same?
Would the what be the same?
Would the feeling be the same?
You know what? Here's the problem. You know, what about all these players, Mark, that get hurt in practice before week one? You know how many guys have gone down with season-ending injuries already just from practice? What's your explanation? Well, what are you going to do about that?
I don't know. You know, it's unfortunate. And so I guess just my general question and the comment was, I wonder if it would feel the same. I know people say that it's different because it's preseason, but, you know, if it happens in week four, does it feel worse than if it happened in week one?
I think most people would, at least, they would digest it better if it's week four as opposed to week three in the preseason.
What if you just do it like college, Grant, and just start the season? It just, I mean, what's the difference?
The difference is millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars for network TV and the owners. That would have to be figured out.
Yeah.
All right. We will come back, Ricky Henney, to talk about the Chargers next. All right, we are back with you, Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
That's me, Napes.
That's you?
Yeah, man. My mom named me that one.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the L.A. Chargers. How about that?
Okay, I'm down with that. The L.A. Chargers. Doesn't that just sound weird?
Yeah.
What's the over-under on someone messing up?
Al Michaels called him San Diego last night, and then, and he goes, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is. It sounds better, actually. Just call them the Chargers. How about that?
All right. We can do that. Again, we will be talking about the team that is in Los Angeles. And as I said, they do have a lot of injuries. And it's unfortunate, but that's football. You're going to get hurt. But they have Phillip Rivers. Now, if he gets hurt, oh, boy.
Oh, forget about it. It's a wrap. Done deal, Grant. You cannot have that. Whatever you have. That guy is the one cowboy guy. And you know what? He's a leader, Grant, meaning you can see him talking to guys. He gets after guys when they're not doing whatever it is, or they, you know, the read wasn't right or whatever. And that is part of the whole thing that's Phillip Rivers.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, if you want to call the show, please do so at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We're going to talk about the Chargers this hour, coming up next hour. The Denver Broncos, we previewed the Kansas City Chiefs at 4 o'clock. And you know what I mean? I mean, again, we can't forecast injuries, but I don't think anybody would dispute that one of those two teams in all likelihood is going to win the division.
Yeah, I would definitely think so, Grant. You know what? When you look at it, the Raiders and Carr, was it 1-5 against the Kansas City Chiefs? Right there, that's a confidence builder.
But you also have to understand, first year he's a rookie.
Okay.
Raiders are terrible.
Okay.
Second year, the Raiders also are not
so
very good.
That's 0-2.
And so that's the first four games. I don't know if that's a great barometer or not.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They were not a good team.
Well, last year when they met up, they met in Kansas City.
It was a Thursday night. It was the first game in Kansas City. Yeah.
Thursday night. Now, that was a little bit of a spanking, huh?
Yeah, it was. But again, I think that divisional games that are played on Thursday nights, it's a huge disadvantage to the road team.
I'm glad you said that, Grant. Do you think that they should even play divisional games on Thursdays?
They should not. It's a travesty.
I would agree with that. Now, you can play some Thursday games, but divisional, you make a valid point because it's such a short week that the home team usually has an advantage.
Yeah, it's just it is unfortunate, but again, that's just the way it is. Again, we're trying to get a hold of Ricky, and when we do, we'll get him on, and we'll talk about the Chargers. I look at the Chargers. I think personally they're going to be lucky to go 8-8. Like, I just don't even see them going 8-8.
I think they're going to win a couple games that you're not thinking. Now, obviously, injuries and different things come into that, but you mentioned Bosa, the defense. If that defense can get some three and outs and special teams can make some plays and you put the ball in Phillip Rivers' hands and he has some capable receivers that are healthy and going, and Melvin Gordon obviously at the running back position is going to have to come in and do some things because they were down on him last year. He played better, and this is a year for him to maybe break out, step up a little bit.
All right. So, again, we'll hopefully get Ricky on while we wait. We get to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What's happening, man?
Hey, so, Grant, I've talked to you before about the Chargers. I've been a long-suffering Charger fan, and when they pulled the trigger on the move, I was like, okay, well, I don't know if I could root for them. But as the season grew closer, I can't see myself rooting for another team. So, you know, I'm hearing you guys talk. I'm thinking they're going to finish 9-7.
Okay, and you're basing that on the strength of Phillip Rivers, Joey Bosa. What are you basing that on?
Well, the defense looks strong. They've got Jason Brett back in the secondary. They've got Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. You know,
those are two good players.
Yeah, and then you you got Keenan Allen, who's looking good. Yeah, barring any injury, I think him, and then hopefully Mike Williams comes back. But then they've got Travis Benjamin, and with Rivers, I mean, you really got a solid core there.
I would agree with you, Mike. I would agree with you that I'm a bit bullish on them. There's some things that have to fall in place, obviously injuries and different things like that. They have the ability to shock some people. Maybe some teams go in there, Mike, or they go on the road, you know, looking past them a little bit and a little prolific scoring, get a couple stops, and they get out of there with a win.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I think you're right. All right, thank you.
The biggest issue I see with them is they've already had a lot of injuries, and they're going to have more injuries. It's not like the injuries are going to stop. I think depth's going to be a real problem for them.
Yeah, and that's, I would say, Grant, of my trying to sell my case of being bullish, that's the one area, and that's probably the biggest area in the NFL.
All right, let's get to Colby. Hello, Colby.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I heard you guys mention that you didn't think divisional games should be played on Thursday.
Absolutely not.
Well, I beg to differ. I just think that if you take – I think divisional games are some of the most important games of the year.
That's why.
Why would you put somebody at a disadvantage
Why would you take the most important game of the year and give teams 72 hours to get ready? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but if everyone's doing it, I just think if all of those games are only played on Sunday nights or Monday nights even, or even Sunday during the day, then nobody's going to tune in to Thursday night games.
No, I disagree with you. The NFL is the NFL. You're still going to get people to tune in to Thursday Night Football. You can still have really good matchups that aren't divisional games, can't you?
Yeah, you can. That's true. You can. And I guess if not everybody's doing it, if everyone's doing it, then everybody's at the same disadvantage, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't go there because you mentioned it and Grant mentioned it, the importance of those games and divisional games. They not only do they mean so much, you know, teams know each other, they're super rivalries. You want both of those teams to be at their top strength because then you're going to put the best product on the field.
Thursday Night Football is not very good anyway, so I mean it's just not. It's not good. Like for instance, you know, I'm looking at Thursday, October 5th. New England's playing Tampa. It's not a divisional game. Don't you think a lot of people are going to watch that game?
Yeah, because you have New England, absolutely.
Okay, but it's not a divisional game. All right, let me go to another game because I'm curious. You said it at the beginning of your conversation. Miami at Baltimore, it's not a great game, Thursday night, October 26th, but I mean it's Thursday night. What else are you gonna do on Thursday night? You're gonna watch football, aren't you?
Right, true story. But you were just saying you think Thursday night games are horrible. Oh, but you're saying because we're having teams play.
They're horrible. First of all, the games are awful. Most people would agree that the quality of football on Thursday nights, it's not very good. It's just not. We talk about it every week. We talk about it on Fridays about how bad the games are. The NFL needs to get rid of Thursday night football, but we all know why that they won't, because of the money. But it's bad football. It's bad. It's poorly played football, and it's a huge disadvantage to the road team.
Well, how do you guys feel about Saturday night games? Because those come on later.
I don't like Saturday night because it's college football. It's Saturday's for college football. It's not for the NFL.
And you know what? The body needs the time to recover, to be able to deliver. These guys are playing an extremely violent game. They are going after each other at a high level. And to put the best product on the field, okay, you got Thursday football, you're making money, but make sure it's not divisional, in my opinion.
All right. We'll come back. Final hour. This is Grant Napier along with Doug Christie.